Hey, what's up, Bryce?
Hey, we absolutely love you on your podcast, Purple Pants Podcast, and we love tuning in and listening to you. You're amazing, and we definitely would love to meet you sometime. I just followed you on all your social medias, and you are just so cute, and we just love it.
We love you, Bryce.
Yay!
Yay!
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and we are in for a treat. Did y'all hear Lacey and Shane from Love After Lockup? Can y'all believe we is friends now? Yes, they listen to the Purple Pants Podcast. We international, baby. But anyway, what's poppin'? What's going on? What's up with y'all? How y'all been? It's been about 7 days since I last heard from you guys. And you already know me, busy as a bee. Well, not so much. This weekend, I did not have to work. Thank you, Jesus. So I actually had the weekend to myself to kind of just chill, hang out, do my homework. I can't give homework assignments if I don't actually do my homework. So the only thing I really did this weekend was Wendell had a game night at his house, which was so much fun. I haven't had a game night in forever. And yeah, you know, game nights turn into lit nights that turn into nights you can't remember with people you won't forget. So it was so much fun. On game night, we actually played a couple of games. I'm not sure if you guys ever played this. We played the voting game. We played Cards Against Humanity. We played Black Card Revolt. And we played What Do You Meme? Now, that game was fun. There's like a whole bunch of memes off the internet. And then there are like reaction cards. And so basically, each person holds up a meme. And then everyone maybe has like 10 or 15 reaction cards. And then they put what they think is the funniest card in the middle. And then the person who has the meme, they read them. And then the judge decides which is the funniest one. And so, baby, it sounds maybe a little corny. But then, you know, after a couple of drinks, it gets really, really fun. But let me tell you about Wendell. Hey, leave my dad alone. Timmy, shut up. So we in the middle of like playing one game and Wendell's like, hey, y'all guys, if you can remember to like put your cards in order so that way when I collect them, I can put them back and they're easier for me to, you know, put up. Ain't nobody thinking about that, Wendell. I'm thinking about where my cocktail at, okay? Listen, oh, speaking of cocktail, wait. Let me wet the whistle. And hold on. Let me actually wet the whistle and my purple pants, wine glasses. Oh, baby boy is out here living my best life. Yes, I actually have Let Me Wet the Whistle wine glasses available. So if you guys are interested in some, you can click the link in my Instagram bio and I'll tweet them. So, you know, listen, when you're listening to the Purple Pants podcast, you can hold on. You can wet the whistle with me. Okay. Now this week, you know, I'm drinking a little Simply Orange Juice with mango juice. I have a little salsa water and some Tito's. I'm becoming a Tito's hoe. Okay, I love me little Tito's. Now we got a jam packed episode. So let's jump right into it. So this week on the menu, you guys asked for it, you want it. We got our Survivor talk, and we got in a special edition this week. We got the Prodigal Son. We have Housewives of Atlanta. We have Housewives of New Jersey, and we have the Netflix series Atypical. We also have our church announcements. We also have the Purple Pants picks. We also have Advice with Bryce, and on this week we have the Freak of the Week, Big Bay. So, further ado, let's get into the church announcements. First church announcement, child. Y'all know I got fans all across the world, and you know I got haters all across the world, and this week is no different. Our good, good girlfriend Barb from the Midwest area is back. So let me set the scenario up for you, okay? So you know, when last week's episode, Awkward Situation, came out, you know I'm retweeting it, tweeting it, you know everybody tweeting it, and you know, on my lunch break, I'm like, let me, you know, read the comments, if anybody wrote a comment or anything, and chow, I see a comment from Barb from the Midwest area talking about, I just can't listen to him. Well, baby girl, you don't have to. But sweetie, if you don't want to listen to me, baby, why are you commenting on my tweets? Girl, we had to put you on the church announcements again. Now, I'm putting her on the church announcements because I feel like everyone has a Barb from the Midwest area in their life, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a family member, whether it be a friend. We all have that person that just always wants to put their two cents in. And basically, what you got to do with them is kill them with kindness. Baby, you're not doing nothing great if you don't have a Barb from the Midwest area saying, I just can't listen to him. So when you see them type of comments, when you get them type of emails from the coworkers, when you at the holidays are coming up, when you at your holiday events and you got that Barb from the Midwest area, pay them no mind. Pay them to dust, Purple Pants Posse. Kill them with kindness. Don't let them see you sweat. Don't let them get under your skin. Mwah, smooches. I said, okay, Barb, I'm sorry you don't enjoy me. I may not be your cup of tea, but enjoy the rest of your day. Kissy face emoji. Don't let these people get under your skin, because at the end of the day, what you can always count on is a Barb from the Midwest area. So that's how you know you're doing your job, Purple Pants Posse. So I just wanted to put her on the church announcements because I know everyone has a Barb from the Midwest area in their life. And it's like, it ain't no need to throw them shade. Ain't no need to throw them. Well, you know, you can throw them a little bit of shade. But keep it moving. Like, don't let that stop you. Don't let that, what you doing, what you working on, don't let anybody or anything stop you. So I just wanted to put her on the church announcements to let y'all know we keeping it moving. Shout out to you, Barb, from the Midwest area. Second on the church announcements, child, it's Barb from the Philly area, my mom, okay? Y'all know my mom is crazy. You know my mom, you know I got a dog sister named Sunshine. So, you know, whenever my mom listens to the Purple Pants podcast, she always texts me, good episode, I love it, great episode. And, you know, my mom has an Amazon addiction like me. I get it from my mama. Ooh, I get it from my mama. So my mom is always on the Amazon, okay, buying stuff, you know, trying new stuff out. And so she texts me this week and was like, I got Sunshine a new coat. Every winter, my mom is buying Sunshine a new coat. I'm like, Mom, she has a coat from last year. She's like, well, she needs a new coat. Well, I was the youngest of four brothers. And so the wintertime, I didn't always get a coat. My mom would be like, use your brother's coat. But child, Sunshine get her own coat. And so I was like, oh, that's cute. And so then my mom texted me back and was like, oh, yeah, I ordered her a purple coat, too. I want her to be a part of the Purple Pants Posse. You know what? Somebody come get my mom. So I just had to tweet that out there because I'm like, you know what? My mom is crazy. But child, I did not know what I was in store for. Now we got the Purple Pants Posses, and baby, we got the Purple Pants Pets, okay? On Twitter, Perks of Being HC, she tweeted, I've been listening to podcasts all day, but when I turn on the Purple Pants podcast and your theme song comes on, my dog starts jumping on my leg. And she tweeted the photo. I said, oh, God. And then Kristen said what on Twitter? She said, my cat now answers to baby boy. And she posted a little video of her saying baby boy and the cat turning around like, what's up? Okay. And then we've got Leska Savage. She posted on Instagram, doing my homework, watching The Prodigal Son. And she had her little pug sitting right on her lap, looking up at the camera too. Okay. Listen, we got Purple Pants Pets out here. Okay. So I had to put that on the church announcements. I love it. Keep it coming. Also, the third thing I wanted to talk about was, I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm really just saying this for myself, but I don't know who else needs to hear this. As the cold weather is rolling in, it's getting dark out, don't wait to New Year's to say, New Year's, new me. You know, like I've always been telling you guys, I'm on a journey for a better Bryce. And I feel like I am kind of sort of stunting my growth a little bit because I just find myself in the bed, eating, watching TV. And this spring, I spent so much time working on my body, trying to feel great about myself. And I feel like I am falling into the trap of like where I gain weight. I'm eating, I'm drinking when I really shouldn't be. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but stay strong to the cause. Don't be like, I'ma wait till new year, new me. Like, no, we can start now. We can start together. Get yourself an accountability partner. Me, my friend Desi Williams from Survivor, Healers, Hustlers, and you know, the other one. We are each other's accountability partners, okay? When she in the gym early in the morning, she sent me a little photo like, shh, in the gym. Okay, I went running this weekend. I sent her a little photo like, girl, I'm going running. So we hold each other accountable. So listen, whoever needs to hear this, put the hot Cheetos down, okay? Put the Twizzlers out your mouth. Get them gummy bears out. Get you a carrot. Do some exercises. Get up, get out. Come on, we going into 2020 popping, okay? So whoever needed to hear this, really me, take that and take it in. Also, on the last church announcements, y'all, November 27th, I told y'all, Wendell and I are throwing a Survivor viewing party. We're actually meeting with the venue this week, so we will put out a flyer at the end of this week. So if you guys are in Philly, Delaware, New Jersey, come on out. It is the day before Thanksgiving, so we're going to have a great old time. And like I said before, you never know who might show up. I don't know. I can't say. But all right, let's get right into the menu because, listen, we don't got time to waste. We got to get in. Let's get into our Survivor talk. Now, I asked for some co-hosts. I said, send me an email. And baby boy, my email was jumping. Oh, ladies, leave your man at home. The Purple Pants Podcast email is jumping. Okay. So listen, this is the new segment I want to try out. I need y'all feedback. Let me know what y'all thinking. But I got reporters in the field. The Purple Pants Posse is worldwide. Okay. And we got none other than Nick, then Jack, then John, then baby boy, reporting live from Chicago University. Jack, what you got for us about the Survivor news this week?
Baby boy, thank you for shooting it over to me. This is Nick, a.k.a. Jack, a.k.a. John Jr., your boy from the Battle of the Bush. And I'm coming. Can I just get a quick, chile, Bryce? Like, woo. I know you could do that better than I can.
Chile.
Man, that was a spicy episode. My favorite of the season so far. And I just want to come to you with a few things, man. We got the underrated move of the episode. We got the hot take of the episode. You know it's going to be spicy. And we just got some general reactions to the tribal as a whole. So my underrated move of the episode, it's coming right off the bat when Missy goes back to camp with Lauren, who is very upset that she betrayed her. And she says herself, she's crying. She's like, I can't believe you betrayed me. But I think Missy does an excellent job of doing a little bit of damage control. So instead of giving her empty reassurance, just saying, oh, you're good, she gives her her personal logic as to why she wants to keep her in the game, which, from my opinion, is a very, very effective strategy. She tells her, Lauren, I need you. First of all, we have a good connection, but second of all, you're my connection to the girls on the other side, and that's how my game plan is going right now, so I need you to get those other girls. And from my perspective, that is a fantastic way to handle it, because to me, when I'm playing Survivor, or when we're playing Survivor together, Bryce, it's all about understanding other people's perspective and seeing, like, what's their best move, what do they think their best move is. It's a little bit of game theory, where you want to understand, like, what's the most logical move for each person in each situation, and if you can understand that, then you could develop some sense of a Nash equilibrium, which is essentially the outcome that occurs when everyone operates under their best move. So in Survivor, it's a little wonky because a lot of people don't play logically, so there's no perfect Nash equilibrium. But the more you can understand about someone's best move or what they believe their best move is, the easier it is to develop your gameplay. So by Missy giving Lauren this idea of like what's logical and giving her a very reasonable reassurance of why she wants her to stay in, I think that was very reassuring to Lauren. And it keeps Missy and Lauren on the same page. So round of applause.
Okay.
Bryce, give it up for Missy.
Okay,
she gets
Missy.
The underrated move of the week.
Okay.
Moving on, a quick hot take. So Janet, when she goes to Island of Idols, she does not play the game that Rob offers her. And on Reddit and stuff, I saw a lot of appreciation for Janet making this move. And I won't lie, it was a very good trip to Island of Idols for Janet. Definitely boost her stock as a potential winner, because at least she was able to think out her move and explain why or why not she would do it. But I do think there was some logical fallacy in her thinking. Man, so basically the deal she had was she could play this game. If she wins, she gets this advantage that allows her to remove herself from any tribal up to and including the final seven.
Oh,
excuse me.
What was that? Ooh,
baby boy. Just ate a grilled cheese.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? The stomach is a little oof.
Rawr.
She can remove herself from any tribal up to and including the final seven. And if she loses, she loses her vote at the next tribal. Now, I understand that she is calculating the risk like Rob wants her to do. And she realizes that losing her vote could be bad, and removing herself from a tribal could hurt her at the subsequent tribal councils, put a target on her back. But in my opinion, that's like the same logic of using an immunity idol. If you use an immunity idol, it might put an increased target on your back, but it's still worth having in case you need it, Janet. What if you go to a tribal council and you know you're going home? You can use that to save yourself and then play from there. Who cares if you have a bigger target on your back? That's better than being out the damn game. And the punishment you have is just losing your vote at the next tribal council. Like, you have a solid majority in your tribe right now, as we see at the actual tribal council she attends, where it's basically a unanimous vote on Dean. And then the votes get split on Nora. If this is obviously thinking a little bit in hindsight, but if Janet hadn't had a vote there, the outcome would have been the same. And I feel like Janet was in a comfortable enough position that she could have realized that in advance and taken this risk to just give herself an advantage that she doesn't even have to use. And also, at the very least, Janet, I know you a lifeguard. I know you think situations through. Just ask Rob what the damn game is and just weigh the risk. You know, if he's like, oh, there's a 75% chance you win this reward, then play the damn game. Or if it's like, Janet, you need to swim slowly. Janet's like, damn, I can't swim slowly. I'm a lifeguard. I go full speed. Then maybe don't play the game. You know what I mean? Like, baby girl, like, think it through. And then here we go. We're moving on to this epic tribal council. In the content leading up to the tribal council too, man, Kelly, I already thought she could be a winner this season. Man, she's going crazy. And I discussed this with you and Wendell a little bit after the episode. Luckily, Timmy was not there.
Hey.
You know he'd be interrupting. He's here right now, man. Wendell had me babysit his ass while he's playing basketball at the gym at 6 a.m.
Yeah, Timmy smells like
over in the corner. He's munching
fistics
on some peeps, those little marshmallow ducks.
I love those.
Back, I'm done with my peep. Timmy, shut the fuck up,
man. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Oh, your daddy doesn't like one of you.
No, he doesn't.
Like,
stop it.
Timmy, I got some Cheetos over here.
Oh, you do?
Eat the fucking Cheetos.
Oh,
okay. No, I will say what I want, Timmy.
No.
Say whatever word I want.
No,
I'm
won't.
A big boy. See, damn Cheetos.
Okay, thanks, though.
No, they're not extra hot, Timmy. Chill out. They're jalapeno cheddar.
Is I'm allergic.
All right, Jesus. All right. So, Kelly, this is a genius move, in my opinion. And I thought of this. I'm sure a lot of other fans have thought about this. What if you want to use an idol on someone who's in the minority, but you don't want to reveal that you're working with them? Kelly understands this concept, and she's like, what if I just slip this idol to Dean? And she does. And I think that's a genius move. It does rely a lot on Dean, and it relies on him not only to vote who she wants her to vote, which ends up being Jack, but also that he won't reveal it. Now, he doesn't reveal this tribal, but he could reveal it any time in the future. So, Kelly, this is a risky move. You might be earning an ally down the line that you could carry to the end of the game, but you could also be given some ammo to someone who, whenever, if they want you out, they could just say, oh, Kelly gave me this idol, and that's going to put a big target on Kelly's back. But I do love the just from a meta perspective, if I'm on Survivor, I'm going to want, even if it's not maybe the ideal move for me, I want to do something that's entertaining, something that's game-changing, something that makes the game fun. So I really applaud Kelly from that perspective. Like,
okay,
baby girl, you're doing your thing.
Baby girl.
The only thing I would question, and I think it's smart of Dean to vote who she tells him. I was thinking, you know, maybe he just switches up, votes a girl out. He keeps Jack and Jamal, who he seems to be on good page with. But I feel like that would put him in a dangerous position and kind of create a him versus Kelly war right off the bat at the merge, which isn't really what you want going into the final 13. The only thing I question is, I think I would maybe have voted out Jamal instead of Jack if I was Kelly and if I was Dean, because, you know, Kelly said it herself. She has a pretty good working relationship with Jack, where she doesn't really with Jamal. granted, Jamal has rubbed people the wrong way a lot, whereas Jack is very friendly and on good terms with a lot of people. So if Kelly feels confident in her girls' alliance, not that it exists so far, but we see that the girls are all on the same page. You know, it's not an official girls' alliance, but the girls have been running things. Shout out to my ladies. You know, if she feels good in that, then maybe she wants to take Jack Nicotine out because he's a threat. He's a male who's working well with everybody. And Jamal, we've seen, have rubbed people the wrong way, especially the women. So he could be an easy guy to pick off early in the merge. So I think great move by Kelly. And then Nora, you know, she's being honest and she kind of sold that they might vote for Jamal. Oh, and also, baby boy, Jamal, why did you play the idol for Nora? While the episode was going on, I was like, what is you doing, baby? What? Like, that's the person you told after Dean gets the idol play for him. That's the person you told Dean to vote for. So if he did vote for her, then the votes are just going to get canceled and your ass is going to go home. So you could have played it for Jack, which would also kind of be dumb in my opinion, even though it would have worked. But had he played it for Jack, he probably would have gone home on the revote because it would have been 0-0. Just play it for yourself or don't play it at all, Jamal. Come on, bro. You were one of my top winner picks this season, and you've been making some good content, but you've not been making any good moves. Back to you in the studio, Bryce. Thanks for having me.
Yes, baby boy. And shout out again to that's Jack Atkins, JackAtkins21 on Instagram. Thank you so much for giving us our Survivor news this week. And if you guys don't know, that is the Jack Nick John from South Africa, who went to South Africa with us to play the Battle of the Bush. Now, you guys, y'all know I'm looking for more co-hosts. So if you think you can deliver the news better than baby boy, y'all know what you need to do. Hit me on the hotline. Okay, the hotline is popping. PurplePantsPodcast@gmail.com. Now, right back onto the menu, we have the Prodigal Son. Now, it's been getting good, y'all. So, okay, we've got Malcolm Whitley. He is the profiler on the show. We got his dad, Martin Whitley, who is the world-renowned, like, surgeon who was the serial killer in jail. We got his mom, Jessica Whitley, and we got his sister, Ainsley Whitley. Now, more recently on the last couple of episodes, we really gonna focus on episode 5-7. So I hope y'all did your homework because, baby boy, we got to go in. So Michael Malcolm was meeting with his psychiatrist, his therapist, and basically he's having these tremors. He's not sleeping at night and his hands are shaking. And the doctor is like, boy, I see these tremors are getting worse. And he's like, yeah, they're fine. And so basically he has suppressed memory. And again, I told you about, he saw this girl in a box, and basically there was never a girl that was found. So they're like, no, it never happened. So basically each dream that he's having, he's seeing more and more details. And so, you know, the doctor is like, well, these are suppressed memories. And like, you know, the more and more these suppressed memories come out, Michael, I'm worried about your stability, because soon you may not be able to tell what is reality and what's not reality. And then Malcolm gets a call. He's got to run out because a new murder has come in. Now, I want to focus on last week. I was telling y'all that Malcolm's mom, Jessica, he discovered something that, you know, when he found the box one time, you know, now he remembers his mom in a red dress. Like, what are you doing down here? You can never be down here. You know, your dad is in the bad things. And then, like, you know, he doesn't remember anymore. So basically, he kind of sort of confronts his mom. And basically, the mom is like, I forbid you to see your dad in jail anymore. And we then learned that when Malcolm's dad got arrested and left, Jessica Whitley, she basically told Martin, like, I will never see you again, ever. I'm choosing my kids over you. So she sees how unstable Malcolm is becoming. So she breaks her promises and she goes to the cuckoo house to see Martin. And Martin is like, oh, you look so beautiful. And she basically is like, stop seeing him. You are ruining him. Leave him alone. But basically, like, you know, he's a serial killer. And so he kind of like woos the mom in a little bit. And, you know, the mom kind of sort of like, she doesn't fall back in love with him, but I guess she remembers why she loved him. And at this point, we don't know, like, what her role is, and did she know that he was a killer? But then we find out that she basically knew at some point, she found out, because now she sort of has flashbacks. She knew that he was a killer, but she likes the lifestyle that she lives. You know, they are a prominent family in the New York City. You know, he is a world-renowned doctor. She gets to go to parties. And basically, we kind of learned that they make this pact. Like, you know what? She's going to turn the other cheek so that she can raise her children and that she can continue to live the life that she's living. But she don't want to know nothing about him and the killings. That's what we know so far. So basically, she's like, I don't ever want you to see Malcolm again. So Malcolm finds out. Well, she then tells Malcolm, like, listen, I went to go see your daddy and I don't want you to see him no more. He's like, you said you would never see my dad again. Why would you go there? And she's like, because I did it for you. I went there for you. Now, we have Malcolm's sister, Ainsley. She's this reporter of the family, and basically, like, she's been the one that's been sheltered. So she's a reporter, but you know how on your local news, y'all got my jealous, and my mom loves to pick apart the young reporters on the news. My mom be like, look at her hair, she not even. But anyway, she's one of those young reporters who's basically wet behind the ears, but basically got the job because of her name. And she's basically, this whole time, doesn't have a relationship with her dad. She's close with Malcolm, has a on-again, off-again relationship with her mom, but she's waiting for her big story. She wants this big story to break. So Malcolm continues to kind of sort of see his dad, and no new cases are coming in where people are being murdered, and Malcolm is kind of like, he is on it, but he's not on it, because he's like, there's this one case where this dad is murdered. The main suspect is the mom, and there's this little boy who's like, you know, a little off, and Malcolm can relate to this little boy. The little boy's out with the rabbits, and you know, he's like, oh, did your dad buy you these rabbits? And the little boy's like, yeah, they're sad. They just lost their dad today. And Malcolm continues to have these flashbacks of his childhood. And so his tremors keep getting worse. Now I want to give everything all to y'all, so I want y'all to, you know, fill in the blanks when you do your homework. But baby, last episode was so good. So Ainsley finally is like, you know what, everybody gets to meet my dad but me. So Ainsley goes up to the cuckoo house, and she, like, the dad's like, hello Ainsley, it's so good to see you, I watch all your news reports. And she's just like, you know, I want a favor. And he's like, sure, anything. And she's like, I want you to grant me an interview. And the dad like, oh, okay, well, what kind of interview? And she's like, I want to know why you did it. And the dad's like, sure. So basically, and then Ainsley got a little boyfriend who is her camera guy. He look all right too. So he agrees to the interview. Ainsley goes back. She's preparing. Jessica Whitley finds out that Ainsley got an interview with the dad. And she's like, I forbid it. I don't want you to go see him. I don't want you to go see him. And Ainsley's like, no, I got to do this. I got to do this. But you know, Jessica Whitley, she got that money and she got that power. So she calls up the station and sort of kind of gets the interview canceled. Meanwhile, there is a new case kind of coming in that Malcolm, when, you know, I said every night they be having dinner, or Malcolm's mom will come over to Malcolm's house. So at one point in time when Malcolm is having like tea with his mom, he discovers this photo of his dad in an old station wagon. And for some reason, all of a sudden we see a flashback to him and his dad with this station wagon. And ooh, I'm getting chills because this episode was creepy, y'all. Let me wet the whistle because I'm getting chills. This is freaking me out. Hold on. So it's the station wagon. He shows it to his mom, and the mom's like, oh, that disgusting car. I've never seen it before. And so some of the repressed memories, Malcolm is realizing that he went on a hunt, like a, I don't know if it was a hunting trip, but he went on a camping trip with his dad. And he's like, I don't remember this car. I can't find this car. So one of the detectives that he's working with, he's like, can you do me a favor and find this car for me? And then they like, for what? He like, just do it. So basically, with the little boy and a rabbit, Malcolm basically is like, they find out that they go back to the scene of the crime. The mom is back there and she's like trying to destroy evidence. So they automatically think the mom is the killer. So Ainsley is now getting ready for her interview. The mom basically said she was going to shut it down. Ainsley proceeded to go on with the interview. So Ainsley's in the interview with her dad, the boyfriend, and the jail guard. And she is, you know, trying to like get some information out of her dad. And basically, like, you know, her dad is a serial killer and he's a very smart guy. So he's already kind of like perceiving the questions that he is understanding. However, when Malcolm is at his therapy appointment this episode, he basically learns, he's talking about this case with the little boy with the rabbits and how, you know, the mom killed the dad, and basically how he's telling his therapist, like, oh my god, like, I relate to this kid so much. And she was like, well, that's good. And basically what Malcolm realizes is that this child is a blind spot for him, so he's not able to do his job because the little boy reminds him of him. And Malcolm is a profiler, and what makes Malcolm so different and which makes this series so good is that he is a son of a serial killer. So he looks at the crime scene from the serial killer's point of view, not like the victim's point of view. So in that interview, or not the interview, but in that therapy session with his therapist, Malcolm realizes, oh my God, it could be the child, because I never even like profiled him because I just sold it to myself. So basically, Malcolm realizes that the little boy might have killed his daddy. So he figures that out. Now, when he goes back to the station to tell everybody he figured it out, and you know, the mom's getting ready to confess, and basically he know the boy did it. He killing them rabbits. One of his coworkers is like, hey, I got the car that you was looking for. Here's the information on it. So after they close the case on, you know, how they figured out the boy did it, y'all need to do your homework and watch it. I won't spoil that for you, but I'm gonna get into the juicy part. So Malcolm figures out where this old station wagon is, okay? And so it's at the junkyard at night. And let me just tell you this. Malcolm always getting himself into some type of trouble that he don't have no business being into. Malcolm's always getting attacked. And so he goes to this junkyard. You know, first of all, in the middle of the night, it's dark with a flashlight. And I don't know if y'all know, but I ain't going to no junkyard at night. They be having dogs. Nope. I will call in the morning and see if I can schedule an appointment. I will say I'm looking for a rearview mirror. You got something there. I'm not just showing up at night. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Because he's stressing me out. He's showing up at night with a flashlight. You know, he spots the car. The car is covered. He removes the cover from the car. I ain't removing nothing from nothing. This ain't your junkyard, Malcolm. So anyway, he discovers, like, he sees these handles in the back of the car and gets a flashback of the handles. Then why he got a black light with the flashlight, I don't know. But he turns the black light on and can see all of this blood splatter. So then basically he turns around, okay, in the middle of the night, turn around and see somebody. And he goes, hey, do you work here? First of all, if I'm at a junkyard, okay, which I would never be at night, and I see somebody, first thing I'm doing, I'm jumping behind the car. I don't want them to see me. Okay. Malcolm go, hey, do you work here? Next thing you know, pop, 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 pop. They shooting at Malcolm. Yes. Okay. This is why I'm not going to no junkyard in the middle of the night. So all of a sudden, the guy's shooting at Malcolm. And the next thing we know, Malcolm is not, thank God he not shot. But, you know, Malcolm calls the police there. They all come. They're like, what are you doing here? And Malcolm tells them how, like, you know, he tracked this car down from his childhood. And, you know, Dr. Guilfoyle, you know, the little freaky freak coroner. And, you know, they do a sweep of the area and they start finding bodies. Now, what's the coincidence that Malcolm Daddy, who a serial killer car, is in this, you know, junk yacht. What was the, see, I'm getting creeped out, so I can't even talk. That is in this parking garage, junk lot, whatever, and dead bodies. So there's a connection. So Malcolm's like, this has to be connected to my dad. So Malcolm shoots over to the psych ward where Ainsley is giving her interview with the daddy, and Malcolm jump in. Now, mind you, I left a couple of things out. So when Malcolm's dad is in jail, we see him in like group therapies and stuff. And there's like, you know, with him, with other people that have, you know, issues. And there's this one person that's like, you know, just seems to be obsessed with Malcolm's dad. He's a killer as well, too. And I guess in one of the therapy sessions, he talks about how his daughter is going to come to see him. And one of the guys is like, Ainsley, the reporter, you should tell your story. And so he's like encouraging Malcolm to tell his story, because I guess in therapy, not Malcolm, Malcolm Daddy, Martin, he was telling him like, I don't know if I really want to do the interview. And then the other guy was like, you should do it. So when Ainsley arrives with the camera crew, that one guy, he sees her and he's like, Ainsley Whitley. Like he's real obsessed with her, but they pay him no mind. But child, they should have been paying him some mind. Because here comes Malcolm. Malcolm comes and interrupts the interview, and Malcolm's dad is like, oh my God, a family reunion. Meanwhile, in the interview, the crazy guy that I was just telling you about, he kills a guard, okay? Chow. Kills a guard. The bell starts going off. Okay? Takes his ID and is basically trying to get to Ainsley. So they all run back into the room where they're at with Martin and Malcolm and Ainsley, the reporter, and Nagar. And they're like, okay, they're containing the situation. Now, Ainsley, again, like I said, she is like a reporter that wants to get her name out there. So she tell her bae, her boo, the camera guy, she's like, well, just go out there and get some B-roll of the outside with the lights blinking and stuff so that, listen, we're going to tell the whole story. And they're like, really, Ainsley? And so they ask the guard, and the guard's like, okay, you got 2 minutes. So the boyfriend is out there recording, recording. And all of a sudden, the crazy guy who killed the guard, who's locked in the cell, but they still haven't contained him, he pops up and he's like, argh! And like the camera guy is scared, like, oh my God. So he starts walking back. But child, the guard that he killed, he got his badge. So he jumped, the door unlocks, and he just stabs the camera guy. Oh my God, like crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Ain't this crazy? Well, I won't spoil the rest of the episode for you, for the Purple Pants Posse. If your whistle is wet, okay, hold on. On Chronicle Sun, watch it. That's all I'm going to give y'all. Listen, I'm just wetting the whistle, okay? I don't want to spoil it all for y'all. But, ooh, it is getting good. Good, 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 good. Moving on down the menu. Oh, yeah. I also forgot to add to the menu. You know we got to talk about Love After Lockup. So I told y'all this is a jam-packed episode. So, okay, get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. So Housewives of Atlanta was a pretty good episode. But listen, like I told y'all before, in the beginning of the season, the episodes don't be getting that juicy. Okay, they not that juicy, juicy, juicy like how they be towards the middle and the end. But I'm going to give you a little rundown. So Portia is still dealing with Dennis, you know, being unfaithful to her. You know, she meets up with Candy. She meets up with Cynthia earlier on in the episode. And basically, like, this was the meeting that they were supposed to have where Candy, Portia, and Eva wanted to tell her about, you know, Simply Sincere coming to the old lady gang. But Kenya ruined that. But anyway, they still wanted to have the meeting to kind of like smooth things over. And Candy was still so nervous about, like, you know, how Portia would take it. But the meeting went really well. Was kind of great that they were able to kind of like, you know, get Portia out the house because Portia's been like sad, a little depressed, a little upset. So also in this episode, we see a lot of Kenya. And like, obviously, one of the main storylines that they must be building with Kenya is that, like, you know, her relationship with Mark Daly. You know, he's in New York. She's in Atlanta. Half the time when Kenya is calling Mark, he don't pick up. Okay. But, you know, this episode, she FaceTimes him, you know, he picks up, and basically Kenya starts saying that, like, you know, he's got two other children, which we didn't know about because, you know, she didn't get married on camera. So, you know, Bravo cutter, you know, suspended her, and now she's back, and now she's basically kind of feeling a sin. So Mark's got two other children. So she feels that, like, Mark is very like, you don't know this about motherhood. You don't know this about motherhood. Like, I know this. And so, like, you know, she's saying how it makes her feel. And she's just saying, like, you know, I know I'm a good mom. I know I'm a good wife, but, like, I don't know if I'll ever be what he needs. So that's kind of like the angle that we see with Kenya. We also get to see Marlo. You know, Marlo is my girl. Marlo is, she's been a housewife friend, a friend of the show for almost about 6 seasons now. You know, she started off as, I don't even know. She started off as a housewife that I can't even remember who, I don't even know. She started off as one of the housewives that's not here no more, a friend of the show. And when Nene had broke up with Greg, you know, Nene was like, slightly and politely dating a basketball player. So this one friend brought Marlo around because Marlo was like dating him as well too. So they basically brought her around to basically like ruffle the feathers of Nene. But Nene and Marlo hit it off. They became great friends for a couple of seasons. Then they had a falling out. Then Marlo became friends with Kenya to get back at Nene. And then Nene and Marlo became friends again. And now they hate Kenya together. But, you know, we haven't seen Nene this season just yet. So we see Marlo. Marlo and Candy meet up for a play date. But Marlo come in with these three kids. And, you know, Candy, like, who this? And Marlo's like, well, these are my sisters. These are my two sisters' kids. And the other one is my niece's kid. My niece is in dental school, so I watch her son. And so Marlo's like, well, Candy's like, how long do you have your sister's kids for? And Marlo's like, permanently at this point. And so Marlo breaks down and says that, you know, her sister suffers from bipolar and schizophrenia. And basically, like, you know, she got taken in. And so in the state of Pennsylvania, what I'm assuming that she's explaining is like, you know, a 302, an involuntary hold. And I told you I have my part-time job. I work at a psychiatric hospital, and I work in the admissions crisis department. And that's also the same job that I also do the suicide hotline. So I know, like, this all sounds familiar to me. And then, you know, me being a social worker, working with children, it's just so weird. So I definitely can relate to Marlo on a whole nother level. So basically she's saying her sister had to, it sounds like, went involuntarily to a psychiatric facility. And it sounds like, you know, children and youth or whatever child welfare agencies reached out to her and said, hey, listen, these children, your family member, are you able to take them in? And so it sounds like Marlo is taking the children in. And this is, I think, a really good look for us, because we always see Marlo with older white men, you know, chasing a bag, getting a coin. And, you know, there's always been speculation as to like what Marlo does for a living. And like, you know, she's always been about this and that. So I think this is definitely a great place for us to see Marlo with kids. And it seems that the kids really, 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 really love her. We also see Eva. Eva works at Dish Nation on the radio side. We know that Portia also works at Dish Nation on like the TV side. You know, Dish Nation, they also like, they do like what TMZ does. They got a show like that. Comes on a lot of the local networks. I'm not sure what area my Purple Pants posse all in, but you know, I listen to Dish sometimes. And so while Portia is on maternity leave, Eva is filling in for Portia on the TV side. So we see, you know, Eva throwing a couple of little jabs at Portia. We also learned this episode that Cynthia and Eva became really, really, really good friends, which is like interesting because like Eva, she's newer on the season. This is her second season, but she definitely, I feel like, in my opinion, has earned her peach. She's a spicy Brycey, okay? That's what Wendell say, spicy Brycey. Yeah, that's Eva got a tongue on her. Okay. So, just interesting that Cynthia and Eva are friends because, you know, Cynthia and Kenya are really good friends. And, you know, I love Cynthia, don't get me wrong, but it just seems that, like, Cynthia, I just want Cynthia to have a backbone of her own. She seems to always attach herself to like strong-willed people. However, this season, I feel like we are seeing a more independent Cynthia. She definitely is with Mike Hill. She's wanting to get married. But I mean, I just like hope it's not for a storyline. And you know, we see some conflict with her and Kenya early on already. So like I was telling y'all last week, Eva didn't bring her kids to Kenya's daughter's birthday party, Brooklyn Daly, Kenya's daughter. And so Eva was like, you know, I don't really know Kenya like that. So if I don't really know her, I'm not going to bring my kids to any event. I'm going to show up, you know, bring a gift, be very gracious. I agree with that. And so did Cynthia. However, you know, Portia, being a little shady, had told Kenya, like, oh, you know, Eva didn't bring her kids because she didn't really know you and didn't really want to fill you out. So this episode, we see Kenya and Cynthia, they go to like a, I don't want to say like a tarot card shop, but like an energy shop, you know, where you can buy crystals, where it looks like you can get your tarot card read, you know, little sage. And you know, shady Kenya, like, yeah, I just want to make sure my energy's right and I need to protect my energy. So she goes into the bit about how, you know, she ain't never do nothing to Eva and I can't believe that she would try her. And basically she's trying her motherhood, like, okay, Kenya, always to the next level. However, I can appreciate Cynthia in this moment because Cynthia was like, I don't really feel like she meant it that way, Kenya. I felt like she meant it as in like she wants to get to know you before she brings her kids around. So her and Cynthia go back and forth, but they still end up on really, 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 really good terms. Now, I guess New York Pride is coming up as they're filming. And so Cynthia's like, I got to get a dress, you know, because every year they invite the New York housewives to come on the float. And so Cynthia's like, I really want to look cute because it's the first time I'm going to see Nene. I haven't seen Nene and I don't know where we are. So the only thing I want her to say is that I look good, that I look good. So, you know, Cynthia invites Candy and Eva to go look for a pride dress for her. And so I guess at that time, Cynthia is debriefing Eva on the events of like, you know, well, child, you know, Portia told her this, and child, Eva go in on Portia. Eva like, she needs to be worrying about the blogs and not me, okay? She just had a C-section, so she needs to be worrying about her baby and not my babies. Like I said, spicy Brycey, that's Eva. And basically, and it's funny because Candy just sitting there like agreeing with her eyes, but not with her mouth, because you know she in a better place with Portia, so she don't want to, like, you know, but listen, the eyes tell it all. And then I guess Nene kind of comes up, like, we're going to see Nene. And basically, we know last season with Eva and Nene, they were in a great place, but they kind of, like, you know, had a falling out in the sense of, you know, Eva asked Nene to speak at her wedding. A lot of the girls were like, well, child, we didn't even know you and Nene was that cool. Then, you know, Eva had a bachelorette party, didn't invite Nene. It was the main storyline. And then Marlo had got some shade about Eva and kind of told Nene on camera, and Nene was here for the tea. So it kind of left her and Eva in a weird place. And, you know, now that Cynthia and Eva are joined at the hip, you know, essentially she's bringing Eva for backup. So that's kind of sort of how it leaves off. You know, we looks like we get to see Nene for the first time next episode. You know, I live for me Nene, so I'm here for that. So that's our quick rundown of the Housewives of Atlanta. Okay, moving right along, we got the Housewives of New Jersey. Baby, they back. They back better than ever. And it is, I would have to say, first of all, like I told y'all before, when I watch TV shows, when I watch movies, I just become an emotional being. Like, it just is like, I feel like the enjoyment of watching TV shows and the enjoyment of watching Netflix series, enjoyment of watching movies is that, like, I feel like I can leave my life and I'm in, like, another realm. And so when I go into that realm, I tend to take on the emotions of other people and the things that I watch. I know that might sound weird, don't judge me, but I'm just saying, like, that is like part of the enjoyment for me. And so when I say that I get emotional, like, yeah, I get, like, I take on feelings, I take on, like, you know. And New Jersey, definitely I was in my feelings, and so I will just preference that by just forewarning you guys. So we get to see where all of the ladies at. Now, mind you, New Jersey is a franchise that I always, let me wet my whistle. Hold on 1 second. Let me wet my whistle in a Purple Pants wine glass. Let me wet my whistle wine glass that is available. Click the link in my bio. Hold on. Let me wet the whistle though. Oh, this Tito's is so good. So New Jersey is a franchise that I've watched religiously. Now, I will have to say, probably the last two seasons, I started, but I can't ever finish it. So, some of these new housewives, I don't really be knowing who the hell they are. Like, for instance, like, I know who Jackie looks like, but I don't know who she really is. Like, I know Jennifer, but I don't know really who she is. Like, the housewives that I know is Dolores. I obviously know Teresa. I know Margaret, and I know Melissa. So let's just give you a rundown real quick. Jennifer, her husband is a plastic surgeon, you know, Bill Aiden. And basically, you know, they got three kids, and, you know, it looks like one of those relationships of them Bravo relationships that we see, that the man is the breadwinner and basically he tells his wife what to do. And we've seen these relationships time and time and time again throughout the Bravo franchises, and generally they don't work. However, in my opinion, it looks like Jennifer has a pretty good, like, balance of where her husband is, where the kids at. And child, she talking about all this liposuction that she been getting. Child, listen, I could use a little liposuction here and there. Dr. Aiden, call me. Anyway, so the big party of the first episode is that Jennifer's husband, Dr. Bill Aiden, they're celebrating their 5-year appreciation. Okay, so that's kind of like the over-glaring event of the night. And so basically, we see Dolores. Dolores is my girl. I love Dolores because she is basically been Teresa's friend since they've been childhood. And Dolores is a ride or die. She's ride or die for Teresa. Now, her and Teresa have had some bumps here and there where Teresa didn't feel like that she was being loyal. But at the end of the day, Dolores is mother loyal. Okay? And so She was married to her ex-husband, Frank, and they're divorced. And she got a boyfriend now named David. And child, Dolores got a son named Frankie, baby. Boy. Whew. Chile. I don't normally like to rob the cradles, but Dolores' son can get it. Okay. But anyway, Dolores has a weird situation is that, like, you know, she still is living with her ex-husband, Frank, because he was married. And then basically, like, you know, Dolores and them, they have a business together. They run a gym together. And basically, this was like the house that she always had. And so he kind of went through a divorce. He needed a place to stay. So he moved back home. He wanted to be close with his family. And so a lot of people thought like Dolores and Big Frank was dating. But Dolores last season was like, no, I got a man. His name David. He is a OBGYN. He delivers high risk pregnancies. And so, but we never really saw him. And so we thought like, you know, Dolores and Frank was going to get back together. But here come this season, this episode, you know, Dolores is home. Little Frank is home from college. Big Frank is still living. And doom, the doorbell rings. And here come David. David giving little Frankie a kiss, giving Big Frank a hug. And they all eating pizza together. And Dolores and Frank are flipping houses now. And they are currently, not only are they flipping houses, they're building houses. And so Dolores and Frank are building David's new house. I love a blended family. Really, really do. I think that blended families are like the best because I just feel like, you know, your past is your future. Your future is your past. And I just love when a blended family can come together. However, do I really think that Dolores is in love with Davis? Like, I just feel like she still want Big Frankie. Big Frankie could get it too. But listen, it's little Frankie that we want. So we see Melissa. Melissa is Teresa's sister-in-law, her brother Joe. He's married to Melissa. Melissa and Teresa, if y'all watch New Jersey Housewives, you will know Melissa and Teresa have an on-again, off-again relationship. A lot of the times, I can't always agree with Melissa. And a lot of times, I can't always agree with Teresa because they both be wrong. More times than not, be Teresa that's wrong. And like, you know, but you know the type of crazy that Teresa is. So you should expect that, Melissa. So that's why I always get confused as to why, like, Melissa, like, why she, like, if you know, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Like, don't expect anything else. Believe them. So on again, off again relationship. And basically, a lot of the times, it basically judges the relationship of Melissa and her husband, Joe. So if Teresa and Melissa are getting along, then a lot of times, Teresa and her brother, Joe, are getting along. But if Teresa and Melissa are not getting along, then her and her brother are not getting along. And Teresa really loves her brother. And so Teresa really wants to like get along with her brother. So it's great that we see them in a place of getting along, but we know that throughout the season, they're probably going to go up and down. Melissa has a new little shop named Envy. So she's still working on that. Joe is a contractor. He's flipping houses. He's doing all of that. They got these kids. They growing up. We see the Marge with the ponytails. You know, she runs a lot of different businesses. The rumor mill has it that, you know, child, she be having 6 or 7 businesses. Child, she owe the IRS, all of this other stuff, but she loves to throw shade at other people. But for the most part, I really do like Margaret. Margaret got an older mother. I believe it's Margaret too. And her mom be living her best life. I really feel like Margaret's mom and my mom Barb, they need to hang out. But so basically what I really just want to talk about this episode is Teresa, okay, the queen of the show. Let me just sip my little wet the whistle. Hold on. So we see Teresa. We see her girls. We see Gia. We see Gabriella. We see Adriana. We see Melania. We see Teresa's dad, Nono. And so basically it is this one scene that really kind of sort of gets me emotional. And I really want to focus on this for this episode is that like the first scene we see Teresa and basically like they're making dinner and they're talking about like, you know, they're so proud of Gia. She decided to go to Rutgers University and, you know, the girls come around, you know, no, Teresa dad, he making dinner. And basically they're talking about Joe, basically how he's supposed to be getting released from jail. At this point in the episode, it's like a week, But he's going to be getting released from jail. But after he's served his 3-year sentence, he's going to be turned into the ICE custody because, you know, he had a green card, but he never registered it since he was a child. And so basically, he's not a legal citizen. And when you commit a felony or you go to jail, then basically they revoke it and you got to go back. So basically, we just get to hear from the children's perspective. And this is the part that, like, you know, I just got emotional on because it is Melania is the one daughter that is kind of like the tomboy daughter, but all of their daughters are gorgeous. And basically she loved her dad and she don't really like to hear any like negative talk about her dad. And Gia is the oldest child. I feel like I've grown up with Gia because from watching the show, they spoiled Gia and I've just literally watched Gia grow up. So Gia in our heads is like our little cousin. But she runs the house. Like, you know, she is the rock of Teresa and the other little girls. And you can even see in the episode, like, you know, Gia is very parentified. Like, you know, the girls look to her as a motherly figure. Not that Teresa is not a mother, but Gia is just that girl. And so Gia basically says that, like, you know, dad's getting out. And, you know, she says that the dad basically said, like, I'll just go back to Italy. And she basically said, if you don't fight this case to stay in the country, to be with your daughters, our relationship is done. And I don't know, that just hit me on like another level because, like, you know, last episode I was telling y'all, you know, everybody got daddy issues. And, you know, I have my own daddy issues and I don't want to go too deep or too personal, but I definitely could relate to Gia on that aspect. Like, if you love me, daddy, will you fight for me? And so we then later on, you know, as Gia is talking and Gia is saying, like, this is a big year for me. Like, I'm going off to college. I'm graduating. I've got my senior prom. And, you know, she starts breaking down and she crying. And she's like, you know, these are like milestones in every girl's life that they want their dad to be there. And that just, again, touched me on another level because I don't even feel like on every girl's life, I feel like every child's life, every milestone, you want your mother and father to be there. And so I feel like I just can relate to Gia. And mind you, again, I told you when I watch these shows, I just feel like I take on these, like, there's certain aspects of my life that I can relate to. And, you know, I come from a single mother home. And, you know, my mom had 4 boys. My mom and dad were married. They separated. And, you know, I didn't have like the worst relationship with my dad, but I didn't have the best relationship with my dad. In the sense that like my dad was just an absentee father. And it wasn't like, and sometimes I feel like when people say absentee father, like, you know, you think like, oh, the worst of it. Like, you know, like my dad wasn't like a jerk or anything. Like, you know, he just chose to do other things. And so when Gia says things like, you know, my graduation and like, you know, my prom, like those are like, you know, you know, I graduated and my dad wasn't there. You know, I went to prom and my dad wasn't there. So I definitely like it just like, oh, and Gia starts crying. And then like, you know, Gia's no-no. It's like, you know, I'm always here for you. You know, no matter what, I'm not your dad. I'm not your mom. I'm your no-no. And I'm always here for you. And I don't know why that just like, I love the fact that, you know, despite what y'all want to say about Teresa, she's raising really amazing daughters. And like, you know, they might be spoiled, they might be brats, but at their hearts, I just really feel like they're really good girls. And just especially Gia, they're just, I just have a love connection with my girl Gia because I can just relate to her so much. And then later on in the episode, we learned that Gia decided to go to Rutgers because it's only 45 minutes away from their home, and that if in the event that their dad is able to come back home, she wants to be able to spend the most time with her dad. And it's just like, I just love that about Gia. She's just such a, like, I don't know. I don't want to get too emotional on this podcast, but you know, I just can relate to Gia on that aspect. And I know what it's like not to have a parent there, but I also know what it's like to have a parent that loves you down and will do anything for you and, you know, will be there. And that's what I love about Teresa is I see a lot of my mom in Teresa is that, like, my mom would do anything for her children, anything. And it is, like, the best thing in the world to know that, like, you know, if anything ever happened in the middle of the night, I know I could dial my mom and my mom would be there. However, you know, also, I just get with Gia. It's like, you know, sometimes you want your dad. And sometimes, you know, you want to know that, like, you know, you have their approval. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you getting ready to graduate and you call your dad and you say, hey, dad, like, you know, my graduation is May, you know, 17th. Can you make it? Oh, I planned the vacation. You didn't tell me. Oh, okay. Well, you would think you've got a son in 12th grade. You know, the end of May might be graduation season. You anyway, child, we don't even want to go down that road. But I just feel like I get Gia and I know where she's coming from. And that's why I love the Housewives, because although people say they fake, they not real, but there's certain aspects of their lives that we see, that we touch, that we all can relate to. And this definitely, like, you know, touches me and, you know, makes me think, like, you know, what a different person I would be if I had, you know, my dad in my life. Not to say that I did not have, you know, a father figure in my life, but, you know, you always want your daddy. You always want to know that, like, you know, does he love me? Does he care? And, you know, I still have those questions, and I'll be honest, today. And, you know, unfortunately, my dad is deceased, so I can't ask him those type of questions. But I, you know, it just makes you think. And although people, you would never know, you would never think watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey, it just makes you reflect on your life. And it just makes me grateful for all of the amazing people that my mom placed in my life and that, you know, just the upbringing that I had of myself. Now back to the show and enough about me. But so basically, Teresa and Jennifer became good friends. And I guess, like, there was a dinner party that Teresa was at and that, you know, Teresa didn't like Jackie because Jackie be trying it. Last season, there was a conversation and Teresa was like, you need to control your husband. And Jackie was like, well, if you could control your husband, do you think you would have went to jail? And, you know, dumb is fighting words for Teresa. So Teresa holds a grudge, like me, although I'm on a roll for a better price. But, you know, another reason why I can relate to Teresa, like, you know, you crossed me once, I will forever remember. I might forgive you, we might can be cool, but I will always remember that. And so I guess Teresa and Jennifer and Jackie also had a falling out. They were really good friends. Then at the reunion, it was a little spicy Brycey came out of Jennifer. Or Jackie. And so they were at, like, a little dinner party and Teresa got on her Instagram and was like, do an imitation of Jackie, like, lighthearted. And, you know, Jennifer did it. And obviously Jackie saw it, didn't think it was funny. And so they're not talking. So Jennifer still invited everyone to her husband's 5th year appreciation dinner. And so Jackie decides to come. And even in Jackie's confessional, she's like, I mean, even though I'm not really friends with the host, I'll come and drink her wine and eat her food. So at the party, you know, and then word gets out that Teresa, like I said before in previous episodes, that, you know, Teresa's been seen out with a younger guy. You know, he come by the house. He might be the pool guy. And, you know, and Teresa has every right to live her life. OK. And so again, what I like about on this season, I feel like we are getting to see the real tree. OK, we getting to see the real Teresa, a.k.a. Tree. That's what they call her. So that's what I call her because she is my friend in my head. We get to see the real Teresa. And, you know, Teresa is like, I want to go out. I want to have fun. I've been going through 4 years of hell. I want to have a little fun. And so basically, like, there's this rumors that she's like dating this younger guy. So Marge, Jackie and Melissa were out and basically they talked about, like, yeah, the tabloids are saying Teresa's out with this younger guy. And, you know, Marge is like, you know, I don't pay any mind. And Jackie's like, yeah, you know, that's what the blogs are saying. And, you know, puts Melissa in a weird place. And Melissa's like, well, hey, guys, can you not talk about that? Because I don't really want to, you know how me and Teresa's relationship is. I don't really want to be put in the middle of it. So word got back to Teresa that they was out there. Dolores, I believe, met up with Marge. And Marge was like, yeah, Jackie brought up that the tabloids are saying that Teresa's been going out. There's pictures of her with this younger guy. So Dolores told Teresa. And the first thing Teresa says to Dolores is, I hope Melissa stuck up for me. So fast forward to this party. Now Teresa about to see all these girls, and you know Teresa, she could flip a table. So Teresa sees Jackie, and mind you, Teresa's like, "Hi." Look at her up and down. And you know, we know Teresa is can't wait to get her claws in her. Teresa can't wait to light Jackie up. So, she hasn't even talked to Melissa yet. So basically, she talks to Melissa and she's like, I hope you stood up for me. And, you know, Teresa is like, you know, people only respect you, Melissa, because you're my sister-in-law. Now, mind you, Teresa, girl, now we all know Teresa a little delusional sometimes. Like, girl, they don't just respect her because you're her sister-in-law. But in Teresa's world, you know, that's what they do. So Teresa and Melissa can kind of sort of table the conversation. Teresa talks to Marge and they kind of sort of table the conversation. Teresa gets to Jackie and it's basically like, you know, Jackie's like, Teresa's like, leave my name out your mouth. And Jackie's like, well, you was on your Instagram having Jennifer talk about me. And Teresa was like, that was funny. That was like, and Jackie's like, no, it wasn't. And so basically they like, let's just leave it at that. Leave my name out your mouth and I'll leave your name out my mouth. So boom, they leave their name out their mouth. But really, Teresa got her together. But Jennifer and Jackie, they don't really come to a resolution. And so, mind you, here's another thing about Jennifer. She is sort of kind of a follower a little bit. That's what I get from her. And so her and Jackie, you know, she kind of approaches Jackie like, hey, like, you know, last season you kind of talked about me. So I just figure it was fair game. Like, I just thought it was funny. Now, girl, you know that obviously if Jackie told you she didn't like you talking about her or imitating her on Teresa's Instagram, all you got to say, girl, is I apologize. If that hurt your feelings, I won't do it again. But Jennifer takes the standpoint of, well, you were talking about me last season, so I just figured like this was our relationship. So they don't really get anywhere. They kind of sort of have a screaming match, but it ain't really nothing too crazy, but it definitely is a spicy, bricey episode. And I'm just so curious to see the development of the friendships and how things go on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. So I will report back to you next episode. Moving right along, Atypical. Atypical just released their third season on Netflix, and I just have to spotlight this show. It is definitely a heartfelt comedy that follows a teenager. When we see him in season one, his name is Sam. He is a child on the autistic spectrum. And what I love about Sam is that, like, you know, he's got his tics. He's got, like, you know, he's autistic, so he perceives things differently than how we perceive things. But, like, you know, Sam is very smart. He's very intelligent. But, you know, he's got his things about him. And basically, we just fall in love with him. You know, he's got a dad named Doug. He's got a sister. He's got a best friend. He even has a girlfriend. He's got a mom. And it basically, the series follows Sam and his family. And every character on this series, we love. He's got a younger sister named Casey. He's got a mom named Elsa. He's got a dad named Doug. He's got a best friend named Zaid. And it follows him. And basically, like, you know, he is in a place where he's in therapy. He's got a therapist named Julia who he's in love with. And he is in therapy. And basically, when we meet Sam, he's basically saying all the things that he can't do. And that's what he's in therapy to work on things. It's like, you know, how to be a better friend, you know, how to get through high school, how to get through all of these things. And it's just like such a... like I said before, when I watch these series, I just see pieces of me and my life. And I just love this series. If you've not ever watched it, it's called Atypical. I highly recommend. It's such a fun watch. The episodes are only 30 minutes. And I guess I didn't realize, but when I got into the show, it was already on season two. So when I saw season three, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember season two. But basically, when I watched it, I binge watched season one and two and literally a night because it's just so good. And, you know, it picks up season three. Sam is now in college, something that he never thought that he would do. However, he's on the spectrum, so he doesn't like new things. He doesn't like new experiences. So Sam is always overprepared. And, you know, Sam just say what's on his mind. Sam, you know, he don't like something, he says it. His older, not older, younger sister, Casey. She is, I think, 2 years younger than him. She runs track. I can relate to her sister with running. She basically gets a scholarship to go to a private school, and she leaves the school that Sam is in. Sam's in 12th grade, and Sam's never been in school without a sister. So that's a transition for Sam. Sam's mom, Elsa, is a very, like, needy person. And the first two episodes, or the first season, you know, she is the caretaker for Sam. She knows Sam's her baby. She makes sure she puts her lunches out. She got a calendar in the kitchen that outlines everyone's schedule so Sam knows what to expect. But as the season progresses, Sam gets more independent. Casey gets more independent. You know, the dad, Doug, is a ambulance, an EMT. His life gets more involved. And so Elsa feels like she doesn't have a purpose anymore. And then Elsa has an affair. Basically, that they find out her and Doug separate. It's this big thing. And, you know, all the meanwhile, you know, Sam is meeting new experiences. He meets a girl in school that becomes his girlfriend. Yeah, Sam, child, Sam got a girlfriend. I can't even meet nobody, but Sam get a girlfriend. Sam meets a girl named Paige. They have an interesting relationship, and it just really follows Sam's journey. I just love this show. I really highly suggest it for the Purple Pants Posse. If you have not seen it, start season one. If you watched it, season three is out. Get into it. Season three does not disappoint. I just wanted to highlight this show because I just love it. Moving right along on the menu, we got to get into Love After Lockup, baby. Ooh, Love After Lockup was another good episode. So let's go right into Angela and Tony. Child, I told y'all last episode, we see Angela again. I thought Angela was done because she said she broke up with Tony. Then last episode, we see Tony's been writing her. Tony's been calling her. And in this week's episode, Tony is with her best friend, Tom, who loves her, who proposed to her. But she basically is too in love with Tony to realize that Tommy is the right one for her. So the start of this episode is basically Tony getting out. And so Tom, of course, is with her. They're going to go meet Tony when he gets out and to see where he's at. So basically, you know, Angela is sitting at the kitchen table that's right next to her stove. Okay, it's a table next to the stove. You know, her and Tommy, guess what they doing? Smoking cigarettes. And Angela's like, yeah, let's go get them. It's time. We got to go get them. And Tom's like, oh, okay. And so basically, they're waiting outside of the halfway house for Tony to get out. And basically, Angela's like, oh, I just, you know, Tony's so, his muscles, he's so juicy. Child, Tony, get out of that halfway house. Tony put on about 30 pounds. Tony a little doughy, okay? And so Tommy ain't here for it. And so Tommy is basically like, you know, questioning, like, you know, have you ever killed anybody? Weird. But basically he is drilling Tony, like, why do you love Angela? Are you really going to be here for her? Because either way, I'm here and I'm not going to let nothing happen to her. And so Angela is stupid in love. She crazy in love. Got me looking so crazy right now. So basically, Angela's taken aback. They go out to dinner and Tony's like, I'm a changed man. I really love an older, distinguished woman. There's like about 11 year age gap in their relationship. And I just really feel bad for Angela because it's like Tony has shown you. I don't know which. Yes. Here on the Purple Pants Podcast, Angela, Tony has shown you who he is. And if somebody shows you who they are, we need to believe them. Okay. And basically, she is giving him another chance. Now, I'm all for love. And I'm all for, you know, going for what people say don't do. But girl, he don't like, listen. So basically they go out to dinner, Angela, Tony, and Tommy. And basically Tommy's drilling him. And, you know, he's saying the right things. He just got out of jail. Now, we don't really know where he's going to live. But we know last episode that he was asking to live with Angela and she was considering it. So we don't really know. So it basically leaves them off at, you know, lunch, you know, just talking. And kudos to Angela for having somebody in her life named Tommy that can be the voice of reason. So that's Angela. She basically took Tony back. She picking him up from jail. And basically, we will see where that goes. Then we got Amber and Vince. So last episode, like I basically been saying the whole time, Amber ain't into Vince and Amber ain't into men. Okay. She took a phone call from Puffy, who is her prison AKA best friend, AKA lover, who she's staying at Puffy's mom's house. And she's on the phone with Puffy, basically telling us that the whole point of being with Vince was to set him up, not set him up in the aspects of hurt him. But, you know, Vince is allegedly in the armed services. So Amber was supposed to marry him. And so that, you know, Vince could get more money in his check and that basically Amber would be able to provide. So she's telling Puffy on the phone, like, I can't do this, girl. Like, I don't like him. I hate when he touches me. And Puffy is like, you need to do this. You need to. This is what you agreed to. And then, you know, the phone call is like, you have 30 seconds left. And then all of a sudden, Amber realizes that Puffy's mom, Kathy, has been outside listening to the conversation. The phone call rings. And this is where this week's episode picks up, where Kathy comes down and it's like, girl, I see you. Look like you got the weight of the world on your shoulder. And Amber in her confessional is like, well, I just need to be honest with Kathy. So basically, she tells Kathy that the whole point of Vince was that he wrote her while she was in prison. You know, she's in prison with Puffy, her girlfriend, and her mom, because, you know, they were stuffing stuff up their cootie cat. And, you know, that's why they in jail. And so basically, the whole point was, you know, seemed like Vince had money. And so that, you know, Amber would be with Vince, marry him, be able to get his money, and be able to take care of Puffy and her mom while they're in jail until they're able to get out. And then they can all be together. And so she basically tells Kathy that. And Kathy is like, you know, we don't really know what Kathy's going to say. But another reason Kathy is the voice of reason again to Amber is like, well, do you want to go back to jail? Because she's like, you know, when you play with people's feelings and hearts, you don't know how that's going to end up. You know, it just seems like a role of deception. And Amber's like, yeah, you're right. And basically on this episode, Amber confesses that, yes, she's not attracted to men. And the thought of touching a man, like, repulses her, which I've been saying this whole time I've been watching this season. She don't like him. And it just makes me go back to Vince, like, oh my God, like, I feel like I've been saying this the whole time, and the whole time they've been trying to be with, like, why do you want to be with Amber? You know, Amber got all of her friends questioning Vince and all of this stuff. But listen, Vince, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them. So that's basically where they leave us with Amber and Vince, is that Amber confesses to Kathy that she is a lesbian, she is with Puffy, and that the whole point of her being with Vince was to get some money out of him. And what I appreciate about Kathy is like, listen, when you play with people's emotions and feelings, you are skating on thin ice. So be careful. So then last week I introduced you guys to Glorietta and Alex. Glorietta, you know, met Alex via the phone when she was calling her cousin in jail. And, you know, Alex heard her voice, wanted to meet. They started talking. You know, they fell in love, allegedly. They got out and basically they've been engaged and they're together. So when Alex got out, he called his ex-girlfriend, Juliana. He wanted to see whether or not he was still in love with Juliana. And basically, he met up with Juliana. And basically, this episode, he reveals to us that he's still in love with Juliana. And so this episode picks up on Valentine's Day. And Alex is with his best friend, Kato. Okay, Kato look all right. And I like Kato because Kato, they're in the car and they are on their way to meet Glorietta and Kato's wife, Dawn, for Valentine's Day. And Kato's like, you know, you really need to figure this out, bro. And Alex is like, yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, I want to work things out with Juliana, but I'm in love with Glorietta. Like, huh? And so, like, Juliana told us last episode that Alex was an opportunist and she doesn't believe that it will work. And obviously, here we are. This episode, we see that. So basically, we get to dinner. And so, what's her name? Glorietta and Dawn, which is Kato's wife, who is Kato, is Alex's best friend. They're already at dinner. And so, child, The one thing about what I say, love after lockup, everybody gets a confessional. Even Dawn gets a confessional. Dawn gets a confessional and she reveals to us that Cato has told us that Alex met up with his ex-girlfriend Juliana and basically has said that he's still in love with her. And Dawn is like, that makes me uncomfortable because here I am meeting with Glorietta and I like her and I feel bad for her. But she's like, I'm going to mind my business because that ain't none of my business. Okay. So they get there, Alex and Cato, they got flowers and candy. And you know, it's a good night. Now, Cato, the whole night is basically like sending innuendos to Glorietta. Like, you know, girl, like, you know, you ready for this wedding? And Glorietta's like, yeah, we got to figure out the food. We got to figure out this. And Cato like, the food? You worried about the food? You know, maybe you need to worry about whether or not you and Alex should be together. So he's like, and so Glorietta kind of takes that offensively. But what she doesn't really know is that, like, Cato was really looking out for her. Like, you know, he's basically kind of like broaching the question of, should you and Alex really be together? And so, you know, they order drinks and, you know, time sort of lapses, even though we don't see it, because Alex's demeanor at the dinner sort of changes from when he first arrives with the chocolate and the candy, even though I never got chocolate or candy on Valentine's Day. But that's another story for another day. Whew. 4, 3, 2, 1. And so all of a sudden, Alex is like, you know, asking Glorietta questions like, you know, why do you want to be with me? And Glorietta is like, huh? You know, and if I, again, like I said, when I watch these shows, I put myself in a predicament. If I was Glorietta and Alex asked me that, I would be asking him the same question, like, huh? Like, why are you asking me that? And then Alex gets a confessional, like, you know, I don't really know if Glorietta, you know, really loves me or if she wants to be with me for my good looks and my body. First of all, Alex, you don't look that good. Second of all, your body ain't that popping. Oh, and he's also like, you know, I don't know if she wants to be with me for my tattoos. Baby, your tattoos look late and dated. But basically, from what I get, it's like Alex is picking a fight with Glorietta. And first of all, you already know how Glorietta is. Like, she's over the top. You know, she loves you. She's been, you know, been financially supportive to you. She's been there for you. Now all of a sudden you want to know why she loves you. You don't think that maybe when you was in jail, okay, that you should have asked her that? You don't think maybe, you know, last episode or two episodes ago when you rented a ring and you proposed to her that maybe you thought, why do you love me, before you asked her that? But now all of a sudden after you meet Juliana again, now you want to be asking Glorietta, who's been nothing but down for you, who's been riding for you. Now you want to ask her why she love you. And Glorietta gets annoyed. Then all of a sudden, like, as this conversation is progressing, Cato and it's like, Dawn, let's go outside and smoke a cigarette. Basically, like, let's give them some private time. And so Glorietta is like, what do you mean? And she doesn't really answer him. And I'm with Glorietta. Like, what do you mean? Why do I love you? Like, you living at my house. You driving my car. You proposed to me. So Glorietta is not answering him. So he's getting a little attitude. So he's like, you know what? I'm about to go outside and smoke a cigarette, of course, because that's what everybody does on Love After Lockup. And so Glorietta is just sitting up there like, this don't make sense. Like, you know, and mind you, child, this whole episode, I'm trying to relate to Glorietta and feel for her. But child, I am looking at her drawn on eyebrows and baby, they is giving me an obtuse angle. So he downstairs smoking his cigarette. Glorietta comes downstairs and is like, it's Valentine's Day. You're leaving me alone. Like, what's up? And at this point, you can kind of tell that Alex is a little saucy. So when they order drinks, Glorietta ordered like a little margarita, something I would order. Cato ordered ginger ale. Dawn ordered another margarita. And Alex ordered vodka on the rocks. Okay. So Alex is a little saucy and Glorietta's like, I don't understand why you would leave me upstairs on Valentine's Day. And I don't understand why you're asking me this. She was like, clearly, you know, I love you. And the fact that you would even ask me this in front of your friends is irritating me. And then Alex is like, I mean, I just want to know, why do you love me? Like, you know, I'm asking you, why do you love me? And Glorietta is like, I just told you. You asking me that right now today is bothering me. And you going to ask it to me again? And Alex is like, you know what? I'm good. And Glorietta's like, oh, you good? Then be good. And then so all of a sudden, Alex is like, I'm good. And dabs. And it's like, bye. And so as he's walking away, he's telling the camera, like, I got somebody that loves me and appreciates me. So I don't need to be with somebody that's like, you know, not telling me that they love me. First of all, we didn't see Juliana tell you that she loves you, but okay. And so mind you, he's saying all of that spicy, bricey stuff to the camera. And then the WeTV, so shady, the producers are asking Glorietta, like, so what do you think is happening tonight? And Glorietta's like, well, you know, every couple fight. So this is just a fight that couples have. Ciao, Glorietta. And so Alex walks around the corner to Kato, and Kato's like, where you been at? Where are you? We went back upstairs. And Alex is like, Glorietta's really pissing me off. She pissing me off. Let's get out of here. And Kato's like, okay, I don't want no beef. I don't want no problem. Let's go. And so where Glorietta is standing, you know, Kato parked the car. So Kato, Dawn, well, no, we're not even Dawn. I don't even know where Dawn went. But Kato and Alex get in the car, and Glorietta's like, this is great. Alex just leaves me on Valentine's Day. He just leaves me on Valentine's Day. And basically, they just drive off. And Glorietta's just sitting there looking stupid. Ciao. Whew. This is rethinking my pen pal situation. Well, listen, y'all already know I had to end one pen pal situation. But, you know, I still keep in contact with Danny. But Don Don, we had to cut him. And, yeah, Don Don gives me very much Alex. And so, I don't got time. I'm just looking for a friend. I don't need no opportunist. So, child, I don't see good things with Glorietta and Alex. But you know me, I will keep you posted on next week's episode. Because, you know, Lacey and Shayna is my friend. You know, Lacey, follow me. Hey, boo. Let's get down to my favorite part of the episode, the purple pants picks. Okay, so the first purple pants picks we got is Juicy IPA on Instagram. She says, when do your holiday preparations and shopping begin? Well, Juicy IPA, that is a good question. Well, actually, I've already started my holiday shopping. I tend to start my holiday shopping in August. And shout out to Amazon and online shopping, because baby boy, I don't do shopping in stores anymore. Now, I mean, I do. Like, I will go out to the malls and different stores, but I generally, like, you know, have a list of, like, the main people that I want to get something for. And listen, Amazon is the best. Boop, boop, boop. You know, you got to boop, boop, boop on a pay week, though. Not on all pay week, because, you know, you got to pay the light bill. You got to pay your water bill. You got to make sure you got your groceries. But so I always try to just start my holiday shopping very casually in August, just getting little stocking stuffers for my nephews, my goddaughters, my godsons, my mom. And then, like, you know, I try to figure out what are the big ticket items. Now, the last couple of years, I haven't really wanting to go big on Christmas, because Christmas is my favorite holiday. And sometimes I can spend way too much money. And so I've really been trying to, like, scale it down, because it's not the gift that you get somebody. It's really the thought. But this year, you know, I'm wanting to feel in the holiday spirit. So it ain't going to be a big Christmas, but I just want to get the people in my life that have been important to me. This has been a very up and down year for me. So I just definitely want to show the people that have been in my corner and supporting me that I, like, support and love you. Now, for your holiday preparations, I always feel like that it's very customary that, like, you should not put your Christmas tree up until after Thanksgiving. Now, we all know Sandra Diaz, the 2-time winner of Survivor, child, she loves Christmas. She already got her Christmas trees up. And so, I just, like, first of all, the holiday season is just so short. And the one thing that I love about the holiday season is I just feel like people come together, people show love. And so it's, you know, if you can extend it for as long as you want, then do what you can do. But I feel like you shouldn't start your holiday decorations until after Thanksgiving. Like, you know, let Thanksgiving get here, but slightly and politely start your shopping in the summertime. Like, you know, get little ideas so that way it don't, like, build up on you, because a lot of times people go into debt trying to buy gifts for people. And that's not something that I want y'all to do. That's not something that I want to do. And it's like, listen, if you don't have the money to get somebody a gift, then be there, be present in their life, be a support to them, show them that you love them, because it could be Christmas all year round, for real, for real. So that's my take on the Juicy IPA. We got the one and only Sarah on Instagram. Hey, Sarah. She writes, what's your favorite side dish that you can't live without on Christmas? Not Christmas, Thanksgiving, and dessert? Well, whew, now that's a really, really, really good question. So for Thanksgiving, the one side dish that I cannot live without is my mom's candy yams, okay? It is a staple for our Thanksgiving. My mom makes these candy yams, child, they is almost like a dessert. And so not a candy yam is like a sweet potato, but a sweet potato and a yam are two different things, you know? And in the African-American community, we make these candy yams. We also do the sweet potato souffle. That's cute and all, but listen, the candy yams, you know, you got to boil the yams. You got to get your molasses. You got to get your brown sugar. You got to get your syrup. You got to cut the, ooh, baby. My mom's candy yams is to die for, okay? So that's one of the dishes that I just cannot live without. And then my best friend's mom, Dara, her mom, we call her Nona. She makes this stuffing from scratch, okay? Not stovetop stuffing. I'm talking about stuffing from breadcrumbs, okay? She puts sausages in it. She puts my mouth is watering. If you ever had some homemade stuffing, okay, not the box kind, but the homemade stuffing with the gravy mix, the sausage, you know, I don't even know what else she put in it, but baby, it is so good. Those is my two sides that I cannot live without: candy yams and some stuffing. Delicious. Now dessert, you know your baby boy got a sweet tooth. You know me, I love some sweet potato pie. You know me, I love some apple cake. You know me, I love some got my mouth watering. I love some peach cobbler, baby boy. I love all of the desserts, okay? So any and everything I need, okay? We got Jason Curtis. Yes, shout out to Jason Curtis. He actually played in Survivor Philadelphia with me, which is so excited. That's something that we did back in August, which was so fun. And we are actually getting together with the whole cast this Friday, the premiere of Survivor Philadelphia on YouTube, 11:15. So I will post the link to my Instagram and my Twitter, so make sure you guys check that out. But Jason Curtis wrote, you see that T.I.-ish? So if you guys don't know who T.I. is, I don't know if you ever heard of The Family Hustle. I don't ever know if you heard of Escape, you know, Candy, and Tiny. That's Tiny's husband. He's got The Hustle. T.I. is a rapper. He's from Atlanta. He's got a new podcast. And on his podcast, I don't know what the topic was, but basically something about, you know, your children growing up and this and that. And basically T.I. basically revealed that, you know, he's got two 18-year-old daughters, one from Tiny and one from another girl. And basically he says that he goes to their gynecologist appointments, okay, to make sure that their hymen is still intact to ensure that they are a virgin. What in the devil? Now, listen, I told y'all my dad wasn't really involved in my life, but I don't think I want a dad that's that involved in my life. Like, I feel like you got to let your children grow up. You got to let your children be individuals. And that, I don't know, I feel like that borderlines abuse. Like, how dare you? And even if she did lose her virginity and she's 18, like, that's her decision. Like, you, that she is not a property of you. And especially like T.I. being somewhat of a rapper and being caught up in these allegations of cheating on Tiny, all of these girls that he's had, like, just the nerve. And I almost feel like that's his guilt of being almost, I don't want to say a misogynistic man, but definitely a man that looks at women as objects sometimes if you listen to his raps. Now, I'm not taking away from T.I. because T.I. is very woke. He's got very good points, but this is just something that I cannot agree on T.I. I think that it's important for you guys to talk to your children about sex, about safe sex, about when it is an appropriate time to have sex. But ultimately, that is their decision. And you go into a gynecologist appointment to make sure their hymen is in check. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. That's a no-no. So, yeah, Jason, I saw that. That's a mess. I ain't with that, T.I. On our next Purple Pants pick, we have Non-Binary Boy, or Non-Binary. He writes, good date spots in Philly. I live in New York City, but my partner is in Philly, and I want to be able to surprise her with date nights. Well, baby boy, come to the right spot. Philly is one of the most diverse cities. It is popping. So we have all different subsections of the cities that are great spots. And I feel like some of the spots that you can go to are... On dates, I love, like, you know, Asian cuisine. I love noodles. I love dim sum. So we have, like, a China City in Center City that's a great spot. They've got hookah spots there. They've got dim sum. They've got little mom and pop Asian restaurants that's great. And I always feel like that's, like, great date spots. I actually went on, like, a first date there not too long ago. And it was, like, a really, 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 really great area. That's also kind of, like, sort of in the Center City area. So that's easy for you to find. Like, you know, look up Chinatown in Philadelphia. We also have a place in the city called like the Manayunk Roxborough area. And so it is like, I wouldn't define it as like a hipster area, but it is definitely a spot. There's a strip called Main Street and they've got a lot of different restaurants. It's kind of like Center City, but a subsection of Center City. So Manayunk is a great area to go to. They've got so many different options. We also have like the Northern Liberties area in our section of Philadelphia. Now talk about gentrification. And this was basically a part of North Philadelphia. North Philadelphia is like Temple University. It is a, I wouldn't say predominantly black area is North Philly. And there are parts of North Philly like there's Broad Street. And then we've got like, you know, from Broad Street, when you go to the left of Broad Street, you kind of go up numbers. So Broad Street, I believe it's like 14th Street, but we just call it Broad Street. And then you got like 13. Yeah. So you have 13, 12, 11, 9, 10, and then you've got like 15, 16, 17, 18. So where Broad Street is in North Philadelphia, when you go down in the numbers towards like the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, that area, Philadelphia used to be a factory driven, you know, that was like the economy for Philadelphia. A lot of the factory jobs have left. And so there was an area in Philadelphia that was kind of sort of like desolate. And then, you know, developers came in. They've made it like, you know, chic, urban and fun, very hipster. People love it. But it's still like in the heart of North Philadelphia. So they've built this area up called Northern Liberties, which is a great area. However, surrounding the area is still North Philadelphia. But they've built Northern Liberties up so much is that like the people that live in North Philadelphia, they can't continue to afford to live in North Philadelphia because they're building these areas up with Temple and Northern Liberties so much. However, Northern Liberties is a great area. They've got cute little dive spot. There's a place called South Bowl. They got little Mexican, Italian restaurants. That's always a great area to go. There's also Fairmount area, which is by the Art Museum. Everyone knows the Rocky Steps. That's a super cute place. You've got also downtown. So there's so many different options. So I hope that you can kind of pick from one of those areas that I just said, Google some type of restaurants and you'll be good. You'll be able to find something to eat. And then the last Purple Pants picks we got is My Craigers or My Craigs. Thoughts on calling it self-partner instead of single. Now, I've never heard of this before, but I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like if I say self-partner, I feel like that's like a tax write-off. So I kind of like that. Like, yes, I'm self-partnered. So yes, give me my tax write-off. However, the more I thought about it and the more I sipped my Tito's when I was reviewing for this episode, excuse me, just wetting the whistle. I feel like the term single, you ready to mingle, like you're open, you're looking for love, like, you know, you are by yourself, but you don't want to be by yourself. I feel like when you hear the term self-partnered, as if you are content, like you're not looking for nothing else. Okay. And I feel like, and I never really thought about that before, but I feel like right now in my life, I am self-partnered. Like I don't like, well, that's a lie. Like, I'm not self-partnered, but I am self-partnered. I feel like how my life is set up right now, I don't really want a partner. I really want to focus on a road for a better Bryce. I really want to focus on the things that are bringing me enjoyment. I really want to focus on my craft. I really want to, you know, focus on that because I feel like so much of my life, I've been single and ready to mingle, and that ain't get me nowhere. So, you know what? Maybe in this phase, because you know baby boy is in his early to mid to early to mid 20s to early 30s. And so I feel like in this stage of my life, I really want to be self-partnered and I want to partner myself, give myself a ring and show myself appreciation. So I like that term because I really do feel like it does distinguish my Craigs, the difference of somebody that's like open and looking for a relationship as opposed to somebody that is content with they self at this point, working on the things that they want to work on. So, I mean, I never thought about that. I like it. I mean, right now, I would probably categorize myself as self-partnered / single, ready to mingle. Okay. So, yes. So, that's this week's Purple Pants Picks. Thanks. You know, I love my Purple Pants Picks. You know, every Thursday, I post to my Instagram, the Purple Pants Picks. If I did not get to your Purple Pants Picks, resubmit it because, you know, the baby boy is out here. And on to one of our favorite segments of the show again, Advice with Bryce. So I got a couple of advices with Bryce. And when I was preparing for the show, I had one lined up. But literally, as I was setting up my computer to record this week's episode, I got an email and it kind of sort of intrigued me. They asked to be anonymous. So I will read the advice with Bryce. Hi, Bryce. I need your advice. I've been working at my job for the last 6 months, and since I've started, I've been attracted to my coworker. However, the last couple of months, I found myself developing feelings for him. He is good looking, funny, and we have the same values. We get along really well, but I can't tell if he is into me the same way I am into him. I really would like something to happen between us, but I'm not sure how to approach it or even if I should. In previous jobs, I have experienced unwanted advances from colleagues, which made me feel deeply uncomfortable, and I wouldn't want to put anyone else in that same position. I would also be very embarrassed if it didn't go well and our team is small, and it would make things awkward. Plus, it further complicates things. He is a few years older than me, 4 to 5 years, and is my senior in authority in our workplace. Despite all of this, I still want to give it a try. I have dated a few other people lately and I'm not interested in anyone else. I find myself comparing him to other people I've dated. I think about him a lot and I've had a bit of a sexy dream about him the other night. Ooh. Christmas is coming up and our office shuts down for 2 weeks. Everyone takes leaves, so it's a good time to say something before then, because if it goes bad, it gives us time for it to blow over. But it's still risky. Please help. I would appreciate your advice. Anonymous. Oh, now that's a good one. And that's why I had to pick it for this week's Advice with Bryce. So there's a couple of things I want to address anonymous with this. First of all, I know a lot of people that have met at work. You know, one of my good friends met at work and they're currently engaged. And so I think that sometimes with young professionals that, like, you know, we spend a lot of our time at work. So, you know, our dating scene isn't that open. And so, like, you know, the work pool opens up a lot. However, I will say, being as though that he is someone that is an authoritative role to you, that does issue some concerns, because I'm looking at it from his point of view that, like, you know, say something doesn't go good, like, you know, and just this world that we live in and the times that we live in, you know, men have to be careful, women have to be careful. So that's somewhat of a red flag for me. However, red flags don't scare me, boo. So I feel like, yes, like, you know, if you are interested in him, and let's just run down the list. If he is single, not married, you know, is he interested in women? These are all of the things that you need to, like, kind of sort of figure out. And I feel like if you guys have a good working relationship, you should be able to ask these questions in a very non-inappropriate way, get the information. And so, absolutely, I feel like if you feel like there is chemistry there, then obviously he has to be feeling it as well, too. So there's two ways that you can go about it. Does your office have an office party? Because I feel like that might be the most appropriate place for you to kind of, like, hey, let him know, but not let him know that you were, like, interested and want to, like, you know, had a sexy dream about him. But if you guys do have a holiday party, this might be the perfect time outside of work at the holiday party when you know you had a cocktail or two, he's had a cocktail or two, and basically say like, hey, what are you doing over this winter break? Would you like to get together for some drinks or something? And so that's a way to kind of like being inviting and not really saying too much, because like, you know, it could just be on a friendly matter. And so if he agrees to that, then like, you know, you guys can go out outside of work and then, you know, have a conversation. And even if that does happen, don't try to like jump down his, you know, throat. Just at that time, you might be able to ask a little bit more specific questions. Hey, are you dating someone? And if he says he is, then don't get discouraged. Like, and you don't want to make yourself look like, you know, awkward and dumb. Ask about the relationship because you guys are still friends. If he's not, then you can kind of sort of ask more prying questions and then like, you know, set up another date from there. But like, you know, you don't have to be so forward of letting him know how interested you are, because you also have to remember you work with him and he is, you know, somewhat of, you know, an authoritative position at your job. Also, another way that you can broach it is that like ask him like, hey, do you want to grab drinks after work? Hey, do you want to grab something to eat after work? Like, you know, very friendly. And like, you know, if he says no, I'm busy, okay, like, well, let me know if you ever want to reschedule. And then where you can kind of sort of gauge his interest. If he's interested in a friend, like, you know, he'll say sure, like, you know, maybe I can't go this weekend, but maybe over the holiday season. But I do think that there is a line that you have to be careful, and sometimes you have to be careful of like your job's policy, because some jobs policy says that there's like no fraternizing with people that work together, or they might be okay with people that work together, but they are not okay with people of like senior management or management positions dating people below them. So you got to be careful of that. Now, I'm not saying that y'all still cannot date. You just got to be secretive about it. However, you just also have to be, you know, in your approach, like, you know, you just have to like take little steps. And I feel like the holiday party would be a great time. And if not, if you guys don't have a holiday party, asking him to grab something to eat or asking him to grab, you know, some Tito's after work. And I feel like if he agrees to that, then that's great. A step in the right direction. Also, if and when he says, yeah, let's get something, you know, to drink after work, don't gots to be all, you know, on them like that. You can just kind of sort of ask more and more probing questions. And obviously, if you're feeling how you're feeling, and if he is single, you know, he might be self-partnered, or he might be single, or he might be taken. So we got to figure out what category he is. And I feel like the more and more time that you guys can spend together is great. And then maybe from that outing, you guys can start to sort of text and see where it goes. And so basically, I just would say take baby steps. You don't want to be too aggressive, but you also don't want to be not assertive enough. And so you're going to have to put your big girl panties on and basically kind of sort of make a move, but you just want to make a very appropriate move. You know how it is when people make unwanted advances at you. It's not cool. So you just want to read the situation out, but you also want to be sort of kind of assertive, because in life, if you want something, you have to go after it. And maybe this could be the love of your life. However, it may not be, but this also could push you in the right direction to the love of your life. So I say go for it, baby girl. Just be respectful and, you know, respect the boundaries, respect that you guys work together, but also, you know, read the signs and, you know, take your cues. So let me know what happened. The holiday season is coming up because I want to know. And last, before we go, freak of the week, babies. So we talked about the Housewives. We talked about Housewives of New Jersey. And we talked about Dolores. And I was telling y'all about Dolores' son, Frank. Hoo-wee. So I just, you know, I had a little time in the morning when I got my sad light and I'm just scrolling through the Instagram. I just looked up Frank and baby boy, Frank's can get it. So yes, his name is Frank Catania, C-A-T-A-N-I-A, Italian, but his Instagram name is Frank.Catania, Catania. Y'all know I'm a little slow, C-A-T-A-N-I-A. That's the freak of the week. Go look at that third photo he posted. It says the summer over, or had a good summer, baby boy. He's delicious. That's definitely the freak of the week. You know, Purple Pants Posse, if you want, go on and tag that photo. Let them know you're the Purple Pants Podcast Freak of the Week. Whew. It's been a lot, y'all. And that concludes this episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. If you guys are listening, you know what I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast. I need you to give me a rating. I need you to write me a review. Show your baby boy some love. It's been so much fun, and I cannot wait until the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love the support. It truly means the world to me. And you already know, it's a.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.